Mr. Word.
Review time. As it concerns our relationship with God, our very life, what is the most important thing? Say it again, together. Communing with God. In our initial chapel, we talked a little bit about four universal observations concerning communing with God. The first one, holy activities, what? Can become heartlessly habitual. It is astonishing to think that those of us who deal with God and the things of God day in and day out can just almost think of it as a conveyor belt. We're dealing with the holy things of God. God Himself, His Word, His people, souls. Holy activities can become heartlessly habitual. Communing with God is the most important thing. If you live to commune with God, holy activities don't become heartlessly habitual. And then we looked at a second truth. What was that? Holiness is not
a state into which you drift.
It's not a state into which we drift, but it is a condition from which we can drift. Holiness means that we have this amazing love for God and all that is pure and right, and that there is a sense of abhorrence, hatred for what is evil. Perfecting holiness in the sight of God, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Pursue holiness without which no man shall see God. Hebrews 12, 14, remember? Are you hotly pursuing holiness? Then there was a third universal truth. What was that? Do you remember?
Wants our progress to become evident.
God allows others to determine if we are good ministers and if we are progressing. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15, that your progress may be evident toward all. I said this and it was brutal. The sad fact about many a preacher's spiritual life is that there is little spiritual life that they have. Progressing. Ask Denny Petrillo if he's arrived. Ask Dave Chamberlain if he's arrived. Ask me if I've arrived. That your progress be evident to all. The fourth universal observation is what? Remember it. I heard several of you talking about it last night after Bible study here at Bear Valley. What was it?
Discipline without delight is drudgery.
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, verse 4. You see, when God is your exceeding joy, Psalm 43 and verse 4, everything else lines up under that. He's preeminent. He gives me the greatest joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11. All right. And really, the important verse to focus on throughout this idea of spiritual disciplines is 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Exercise yourself to godliness. Discipline. We looked at this yesterday. A lot of people are trying to be more like Jesus. That's wonderful, but it is better to train to be more like Jesus. Amen. And sometimes, because of a failure to properly train, we end up being frustrated because all we're doing is trying without a real formula and approach. I laugh at myself because I was talking about spiritual disciplines in chapel, and I was talking about disciplines of abstinence, and we looked at these yesterday, and here I am up teaching a Bible class in front of everybody at Bear Valley Bible Institute, and people who are way more qualified than I to be teaching the class, and up comes Brother Wayne to help me with a battery. And the first time, it wasn't too bad. I said, "Hi, Wayne, we're doing all right there." Second time, I get a little bit frustrated. So much so that I can expand the number of times that Wayne has had to come up and re-mic Mike as if Mike needs a microphone. I apologize, brother. You're just trying to serve the Lord. You're just trying to serve the Lord. And I would have been well served to be quiet, silent, and to just whatever thought went through my mind, to keep it in my mind and not express it, and to appreciate your service in trying to do your job. I apologize. All right. That's okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Not only that, he's gracious. Now, having gotten that aside, you can see how training is going to be important so you may not place yourself in that condition in the first place where you overstep. Now, the whole idea of abstinence and as a spiritual discipline, a main category is this. The aim is to get rid of destructive and distracting thoughts and behaviors. Abstinence through these areas has as its aim getting rid of destructive, distracting thoughts and behaviors. Now, we're going to look at the other one. We spent time, and in each one of these is a study in itself. And there are subcategories. But on the other side of the coin, if we're to look at this in a categorical type of way, are disciplines of engagement. If there are disciplines of abstinence where the aim is to stop, wait, remove, or eliminate thinking or behavior that is destructive or distracting, then engagement has as its aim of encouraging thoughts and behavior that's more like Jesus. Got it? He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 John 2 and verse 6. Christ lives in me. So Paul would say. Just as there were 7 categories under the discipline of abstinence, each one of which can be called a discipline in and of itself, also within engagement and becoming more like Christ by thinking and practicing these things by training. Remember the illustration yesterday? I likened this to motor sports. The whole idea of training. Some people are motor boats. Remember the illustration? And as long as they've got gas and they can put the pedal to the metal, okay, then they run out. Many people who are just into trying, they are your motorboat. I'm trying, I'm trying, I'm out of gas. I'm trying, I'm sputtering, I'm about to be out of gas. Training is more like seeing your spiritual life, Denny, as sailing. I've got to respond to the direction the Lord wants me to go. I've got to respond to His will. And the direction that I am heading toward is greater Christ-likeness and home. I will trust in God to provide the wind, the energy that I need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now, engagement involves intake. Intake. Intake can be divided into a number of categories. Reading God's Word. Studying God's Word. Meditating upon God's Word. And just the intake engagement alone, each one of those is massive when you think about it. And so important to read, to study, to meditate upon the Word of God. Prayer, another discipline of engagement. And so obvious, through intake, God is speaking to us. Through prayer, we speak to God. Communing with God. For there to be communing, there has to be communication. Communing. The God of heaven has a throne of grace for us to find mercy and grace. Hebrews 4:16. And think about the richness of growing in prayer. In our class on Luke, we noted the disciples asked him, "Teach us to pray." And we had noted throughout how Luke emphasizes Christ praying. And brother, there was something so amazing and awesome about the way Jesus prayed and the time he invested in prayers that his apostles said, "I want some of that. I want to do that. I want to be like that." And the more we think about Jesus and his intake of the Word and the way he talked to God, the more we should say, "I want to be like that too. I want to be like that so much. I want to be like him." As you think about prayer, adoration, just adoring God in prayer. Confession, the expression of gratitude and thanks, special petitions and supplications. What a rich and varied subject that is. How about worship? Guys, in the book of Luke, what are Jesus' first recorded words? Those who are in my class, what are his first recorded words? I must be about my Father's business, and that certainly includes worship. Heaven's going to be full of worship. Isn't that true? And when we think about it, it was the Lord's custom to attend worship. Remember? He knew more than the rabbis. And yet he made that his practice. What an example, because the worship of God, communing with God, is the most important thing. How about personal worship? Here at Bear Valley Bible Institute, we get into the book. But I tell you what, if we're really getting into the book, theology will lead to doxology. Exegesis often leads to praise. You just got to stop and think about how wonderful God is. Doesn't Paul do that characteristically? He's dealing with things that are some of the richest truths of the New Testament. And he says, "I just got to stop and praise." He burst into praise. Worship. How about family worship? Some of the greatest periods in my life or times of worship with our children. To see them learn about God and praise God and pray to God and the impact that left on me as they grew. How about congregational worship? See how varied this theme is? How about something like the lectureship that occurs next month, where brethren from so many places will gather together here in Bear Valley, and we have a common bond in Jesus, and together we worship and praise His name. Celebration. Celebration is an important area of engagement as it concerns the spiritual disciplines, because too many Christians have forgotten how to celebrate. I like to think that they look like this all the time. That's horrible. Celebration. And celebration, you could look at this in three areas. Joy. Joyfulness. You celebrate what you rejoice in. Gotta celebrate because I rejoice in this. I rejoice in this person. My wife, my family, my grandkids. You gotta celebrate them. Thankfulness. Celebration involves thankfulness, doesn't it? We're celebrating our anniversary. That's meaningful. There's gratitude for the years that you've had together. Be thankful, Colossians 3:15. And then encouraging. Celebration involves encouraging. What we have in Jesus, we encourage and comfort one another. There's something to celebrate. How about the area of service? According to Acts chapter 10, Jesus went about doing good. Just as the other areas can be so varied, absolutely, the area of service can. Have a faith that works through love, Galatians 5 and verse 6. And love serve one another, Galatians 5 and verse 13. I am among you as he who serves, Mark 10 and verse 45. Serving your family. One of the best things you can do while you're at Bear Valley is to serve your family. Serve your fellow students. Serve this congregation. Serve your supporters who are serving you. I know your time is limited and restricted, but you don't have the luxury of saying, I'm not going to serve. Not when the Master served. He was way busier than you are, by the way. Isn't that right? Serve. And then you think about this with your supporters. Serve them by sending a note of encouragement and appreciation. Serve them by letting them know how your family's doing. Maybe call them. Serving people that are hurting. So much could be said about each of these. How about fellowship? I want to define the word fellowship, and I want you to remember this, okay? Here is a definition of fellowship that I think will really be meaningful to you. A common bond and commitment in Christ. What is fellowship? It is a common bond and a common commitment in Christ. But that's not all it is. To the will, work, and walk of God. Fellowship is a common bond and commitment in Christ. To the will, the work, and the walk of God. What a fellowship. People who have a common bond, the blood of Jesus, a common commitment, the love of Jesus in Christ. There's a relationship in Him. We are in the body of Christ. A common bond and commitment to the will, work, and walk of God. To be out of fellowship, then, is to have broken that common bond and commitment that is in Christ to the will and work and walk of God. That's serious, isn't it? That is disengagement. This is engagement. First time the word is actually used in our English translations in the New Testament is Acts 2:42. Related terms are used earlier. But Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. This common bond and commitment in Christ to the will, work, and walk of God. Doesn't that fit perfectly? The breaking of bread and prayers. And then, lastly, confession and submission. I put these two together because they are so related. The discipline of engagement, being more like Jesus, involves acknowledgement of His greatness and of a humility that is required. I am meek and lowly in heart. Of a humility that is required that submits our will to His. Your will be done. Nothing will kill pride like a good dose of submission. Nothing will kill pride like the acknowledgement that I messed up, Wayne. I'm sorry. Nothing will make you realize how more you need to be engaged intentionally to think and to speak and to act more like Jesus than confession and submission. Well done. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, sir.